18 with me. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. I hope there's a few back in the sound room. Raise your hand high. Keep it up there so our guys can see it. Kevin's coming around with some Bibles. Get you a Bible in your hand. It's important that you follow along with us. All right, we have come up to Exodus chapter 18 in my teaching, and I'm going to just interject something here at this time. It's we're pretty frequent in our mission trips. We always take mission trips extremely, very seriously. Maybe it's because of what we have just lived through with Hurricane Sandy here on Staten Island and in our New York area and in our New Jersey area. Just don't take anything for granted. All right? The horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. I'm going to be very frank with you this morning, which is kind of normal with me, but I don't like it when our people are scattered all over the world. I know it's needful, but maybe it's the way I'm hardwired. I just like it when everybody's home. And I know the command, go ye into all the world, and we check on churches, and we have that privilege, and we do it quite a bit. And as I said, maybe it's because of what we just lived through that I'm acutely aware how much we need to pray this mission trip up. We pray them all up. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. I know you're busy. I really know you're busy. Did I tell you I know you're busy?
No.
I know you're busy. But you need to you need to be back here tonight. Okay? That's one that'll be here anyhow. Okay. You need to be back here. All right? I know you've got things to do. But we are going to send one of our teams, our pastor, his wife, four other young men, we are going to send them all the way to the other side of the globe. And I don't take those things lightly. I don't. Now, I know God's in control, and He protects. You say, well, Brother Pat, you sound like you're worried. I'm not worried. I'm not worried. But here I know something. I know I have the privilege of getting on my hands and knees and lifting up our team that goes all the way around the world, halfway around the world, going to be there for 2 weeks. Your pastor, I'm going to say this to you, he's not in here right now. He's back in his office. He's playing catch up with syllabus that he has to prepare on manuscript evidence. And the reason he has to play catch-up, because he was going 24 hours a day for the last 3 weeks. Some of us were pretty close to it, all right? But he'll go 24 hours a day. And I don't have to say these things, but I'm going to say it. Okay? He's human. Okay? And I know he's tired. And I'm close enough to him to know he's tired. So I'm going to ask you to be here tonight. I know you're busy. Did I tell you I know you're busy? I know you got your family. Family's wonderful. I guess it is. Family's wonderful. Okay? Get to church. This is a special evening. Special. 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 Not only the Lord's table, but we're going to end up sending six of our finest, starting with your pastor and his wife, going around the world. And I don't know why, but I just feel just compelled to really pray. I mean, really pray this one up. I just feel compelled. All right. Okay. Now that's not my message, but you take it for what it's worth. All right. Go to Exodus chapter 18. We're going to talk about Jethro and Moses this morning. The chapter starts out with Jethro meeting Moses, and Zipporah, Moses' wife, is in that meeting, and the two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, are in that meeting. But there's something that happens within chapter 18, and I want to look at counsel this morning. This is not a new topic or a new subject for us here at the church. But counsel is the giving of information with the intent to advise and direct the judgment and the conduct of either yourself or someone else. The book that you have in your hand is a book of counsel. Right from the very beginning, God begins to counsel. God's trying to bring a judgment across. Now, we're not talking about the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ here. We're just talking about the way we conduct our lives. He's trying to give us advice. And here's what I fear, right before we pray. Here's what I fear many times, because I've seen it happen in my own life too many times. I'll read my Bible. I'll come to church. I'll listen to preaching, or maybe I have done the preaching myself. But then as the week unfolds, I abandon the counsel of God. I'll get into a scenario, I'll get into a circumstance, and I find myself reverting to the counsel, to secular counsel, we'll call it secular. I find myself reverting to my own counsel when I know what the Bible has said, and it's pretty plain in every area. But here's what I find, and here's what I fear. I fear that we have a great time in here, but many times when we get into our week, as the week unfolds, I abandon the counsel of God. Now let's just begin with a word of prayer, and we'll see how this thing unfolds. Our Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for just letting us meet together again in your name. And Lord, I admit this morning I need your help. In the Old Testament, Ezra, the priest gave the sense of the word and gave the understanding. Lord, you're the high priest, and I'm asking for you just to give the sense and the understanding of what you've laid on our hearts from this chapter, all right, as we go through this book. But Father, we ask that some eternal value, we will walk away with something eternally good, some eternal value. You said your word never returns void. So, Father, I'm asking for that promise to be fulfilled even today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've got you in Exodus chapter 18, but I want to read just a few verses, because as I looked through, just got my concordance, and I just, like the old book, and just started to look at the word counsel. The word counsel is found all, not C-O-N-U-C-I-L, but C-O-U-N-S-I-L. S-E-L, the giving of information with the intent to advise, to give somebody advice, to give somebody a direction as far as a judgment in life. What am I supposed to do in this situation? How am I supposed to conduct myself? Now, Paul in the book of Acts. You don't have to turn to these. Just let me read them, and sometimes it'll be a whole verse, sometimes it'll be part of a verse. But you get around Acts chapter 20 and verse number 26. He says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Now, Paul's getting pretty close to being at the end of his ministry. All right? He's worked his way through. He's probably somewhere around 70 at this point in time. If you just kind of plug things together, he's probably somewhere in his late 60s, early 70s. But he says, I take you to record, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Then he says in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You see, the book that you have in your hands, that this Bible, I think sometimes we maybe don't wrap our minds around it, or we forget. This book is a book of counsel. If I was going to, Pastor and I many times do marriage counseling, all right? Somebody's marriage is in trouble. And they come in and they're seeking judgment. They're seeking advice. What am I doing wrong? How do I correct this problem? You have her truth, you have his truth, and then somewhere in the middle, you have God's truth, all right? And that's usually what with marriage counseling. You got to listen to her truth, you got to listen to his truth, and then you try to put God's truth right in the middle and bring both parties together. Paul said, "I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You have a book this morning that will direct every aspect of your life. Every aspect. Spirit, soul, and body. There's a lot more to the Bible than John 3:16. I love John 3:16. But there's a lot more to the Bible than God so loved the world. That's a great place to start. But what about my finances? What about my relationships with each other? Male to male, male to female? What about boyfriends? What about boyfriends, girls? What about marriage? What about children? What kind of an employee am I supposed to be? What kind of an employer am I supposed to be? You see, the book that you have in your hands, every page of it has counsel on it. God wants to advise you. Here's another one. If you went to Psalm 73, don't turn there, just listen to it. Asaph reads, he pens this, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Guide me with thy counsel. We just talked about God, give him your best answer. You know where the best answer is? The best answer is in the Word of God. That's just the best answer. Now we're going to look at other verses where you can get your answer from any place. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 18, and Moses ended up getting his answer from his father-in-law. This is not an indictment on family members. But we're going to look at the discussion between Jethro and Moses. And Jethro, who was not a priest of Israel, he was a priest in Midian. All right, he was from the lineage of Keturah. After Sarah had died and Abraham married Keturah, the Midianites were from that union with Keturah. But he was not an Israelite. And as we read this, you're going to realize, now he was doing a lot of things that seemed almost like a Hebrew, but he was not a Hebrew. And Jethro gave him some counsel that on the surface looked very, very good. But later on, God willing, we're going to see it was not good. And I have to ask you today, as I ask myself, where do you get your counsel from? Where do you get it from? Now, I don't know. Years ago, there used to be a little column in the newspapers. I can remember it as a kid growing up. Ann Landers. Do you remember Ann Landers? I don't even know if she's still alive. Maybe she's still alive. But she would give advice to people. And you know what? I'm sure she's a sweet lady. Maybe she's dead now. I don't know. I haven't followed up on all that. My point is this. You can just go about anywhere and get counsel. But I wonder why we as God's people, when it comes to salvation, we'll go to the Word of God. We get our counsel. We got our counsel from the Word of God. All those verses that we know about on salvation, that's counsel. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6, that was counsel. Now, most of the world has abandoned that counsel. But here's what I find, and it's troubling to me because I find it in my own life many times. Now that I've taken the counsel about salvation, I don't like the counsel that he gives in certain areas of my life. I may have read the counsel. I know the counsel. But I won't accept the counsel. Asaph said in Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Here's another one. Psalm 106:13, David writes, they soon, meaning the Israelites, forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. You know, we won't wait on things. We're Americans. We want a ready fix. And many times God will give you his counsel, but it takes a little bit of time for him to make it work in your life. Israel would not wait for his counsel. Can I take you to, here, let me give you another one, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, and the very next one is Counselor. You know God's name is Counselor? That's one of his names. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God wants to counsel you. This is why, and it's almost so redundant, it's like stating the obvious over and over and over again. Your Christianity and mine will not work unless I know what's in this book. It will not work. You say, I've heard that so often. Yes, I know we have. But what do I do when where do I go for my counsel? Now, you can find another believer, and hopefully that'll be good counsel. Hopefully. But that should not be your first choice. Your first choice, our goal around here, is to get you to a maturity level that you can read this book and the Spirit of God can teach you yourself. You're not always going to be around Pastor Mike. You're not always going to be on Staten Island. You've got to have this. You've got to know the sure counsels of God. Can I take you to Isaiah chapter 30? Now, we haven't gotten to... We're going back to Exodus 18. But I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 30. Because Israel had a history. Israel had a history of abandoning the counsel of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Now remember, counsel is the giving of information with the intent to advise and direct the judgment and the conduct of oneself or another. God wants us to live in Him. He wants us to know. Somebody says, oh, if I could just, let me plug this in right here, because it just came to my mind. Somebody says, oh, brother, if I could just know the will of God. If I could just know the will of God. No, what you're really asking is if I could just know the direction of God. Because you know there are about seven times, and I'll give you six of them, where God specifically tells you what His will is. And do you know that in these six times, the will of God is the same for me as it is for you, and the same for you as it is for the guy sitting behind you? Now, the direction of God may be something different. But listen to this. 2 Peter 3:9. God's not slack concerning his promises. Let me just get to the meat of where I want to be. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know what the will of God is today? He wants all men to be saved. That's the will of God. He doesn't want to leave, he's not going to leave anybody out. Now, will all men be saved? No. The ones that aren't saved have spurned his counsel. He gave counsel here. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Here's another one. 1 Peter 2:13 through 15. So, God's not willing that any should perish. So, if you're here today, and you know whether you're saved or not, you know that. We're not talking religion. We're talking about you trusting the finished work of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. God's not willing for you to die without him. That's his counsel. Now, if you choose to die without him, that's your business. But once again, do you know what the will of God is? Same thing for all men. God's not willing that any should perish. Here's another one, 1 Peter 2:13 through 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For so is the will of God. You know what God, you know what Peter, Paul said the same thing. We have a hard time, and I know some of you don't like this. I don't personally like it. But you know what God tells me? God tells me, do you realize that Jesus Christ was born into the most totalitarian society in all the world at that time? Jesus Christ was born into a society that Caesar was worshipped as God. It's almost like the guy over in Egypt today, aren't? But Jesus Christ was born into that society. Along with his apostles, his believers. And yet he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For so is the will of God. That's good for me, that's good for you. You say, Brother Pat, I wish I knew the will of God. I'm reading them to you. You've got them. You might want to write them down. Some of you like to take notes. You might want to write it down. And next time you say, if I just knew the will of God... The counsel gives you the will of God. Amen. You want to know how to relate in relationships? The counsel gives you. You want to know who to marry? Open the pages of the book and God will tell you who to marry. That's the truth. You laugh. Not funny. You want to know how to be a good husband? Get counsel from the Word of God. Amen. You want to know how to be a good wife? Get counsel from the Word of God. See, it's one thing to rah-rah, hoorah in here, you know. It's another thing to take this hoorah out there and take this counsel and make it a part of your life. You're going to miss Pastor Mike for 2 weeks. I can tell you that right now. I'll miss him too. I'd rather listen to him. I'm going to be honest with you. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. No, excuse me. Yes, I had you. Did I never even told you about Isaiah chapter 30. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. I got ahead of myself. Go to Isaiah. I'll get back to this. Just stay with me. Isaiah chapter 30. Look at 1 through 3. Here were some people that were taking counsel. Where do you get your counsel today? We're not short on counselors in this world. We're not short on people who will give you advice to try to make you go in a certain direction. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Now he's talking to Israel here. Isaiah 30. Verse 1. That take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, wrong counsel, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. It was one thing to go to the wrong person for counsel. It was another thing to govern your life with that counsel. And that's what Israel was doing. Now, look at 2 and 3, and then we'll move on. That walk to go down into Egypt, have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now look at verse number 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, that person you're trusting, that counsel that you got from Pharaoh, shall be your shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Counsel, wrong counsel, ends up being a wrong covering, always ends in confusion. May not happen in a day. But I can guarantee you this, as a saved person, wrong counsel will catch up with you every time. Every time. It might take 20 years. I've had personal acquaintances. You know what? According to the Word of God, they should have never married. According to the Word of God. But they did, and it lasted for a while, and things happen. There are things in life, there are things in this book that are so plain. How to govern your finances in this book. How to raise your children in this book. How to love each other in this book. Go back to the will of God here. He said in Romans 12, Pastor was on that recently, you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Paul tells us you can prove what the will of God is. The will of God is not some mystical, magical thing. Now, within that will of God, God directs all of us perhaps in a different direction. And that is a different story completely. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, as unto Christ. Not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's the will of God for me to be a good servant to my master. You say, I'm not a servant. You have a job? Do you own the company? No, I don't own the company. You work for somebody, right? Guess what you are? You're a servant. You're getting paid. You're a servant. Guess what you are if you own the company? You're a servant to the federal government. All right? You're a servant to somebody. He said here, servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, as unto Christ, not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God. That's the will of God. Will of God is be a good servant. Be a good employee. Be a good employer. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, to be set apart by God for His own personal desire, His pleasure. All right? You're created for His pleasure. Will of God, even your sanctification, abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, meaning your body, male or female, in sanctification and honor. Bible will tell you what the will of God is. That's counsel. Here's another one. Last one. Probably more. I just gave you six. Probably many more than that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything. Here's one. Somebody said it in the prayer room this morning. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Not because of everything, but right in the... This is one of those verses that, truth be told, I'd like to take one of those chiseled black markers and just draw a line through it in my Bible and hope to God it doesn't bleed through because I don't like it. Now, I know you're the fourth part of the Trinity and you're doing much better than I am in Jesus Christ, but maybe you're like me. In everything, give thanks. You want to know what the will of God is? Here's one of them. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, counsel. Now, let's go to Let's go to Exodus 18 with me. Exodus chapter 18. Because Jethro and Moses, they have this discussion. And they seem to be, they seem to have a pretty good relationship as a son-in-law with a father-in-law. All right. Go to Exodus chapter 18. We've often taught you on the principle of first mention, last mention, then right in the middle somewhere in your Bible you'll find full mention. But always watch the first mention and the last mention. The first time the word counsel is S-E-L, is found in your Bible, your King James, it's this story in Exodus chapter 18. Now, I want you just, I'm just going to take you through and just kind of hit some verses. Look at verse number 7. It says, and Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. Once again, Jethro has brought his daughter Zipporah. He brought the kids with him, the children born of Zipporah. He brought them out. They're meeting Moses again because they had separated themselves. Moses had was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he says in verse number 7, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. Now, they seem to really care for each other. They have a pretty decent relationship, all right? Doesn't seem to be any animosity in that particular verse. And verse number 8 says, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, how the Lord delivered, and all the way down through here. Now, I want you to go down to verse number 12. Now, there were some things. Actually, I'm going to back you up to verse number 11. Same chapter, verse number 11. Now remember, Jethro is the priest of Midian. All right, he is not a Hebrew. But in verse number 11 says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. So he was a priest, but he was not a priest of the true God. But he knew of this true God. Obviously, he had spent much time with Moses. All right. He says, for in the thing wherein thou dealt proudly, he was above them. 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering. Obviously, he learned some things from Moses. Sacrifices for God. Aaron came, all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. Now watch what happens here. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Now keep something in mind as we read. If you go back, I think it's around Exodus chapter 4, Moses was Israel's direct connection to God. God was literally one man at that time. God was working through Moses, was speaking to Moses. Moses would then say something to Aaron. Aaron would then talk to the people, only because Moses and we got into not being able to talk properly. Whether that was true or not is to be discussed. The thing is this. If you go back and look at those verses, there's a phrase that Moses was in the stead of God. Up to this point, God is talking to Moses and Moses only. All right? Moses is getting his counsel directly from the mouth of God. Now, again, I have to ask you, where do we get our counsel for everyday living from? I know there are decisions that are just easy decisions and you can make them and they don't affect anything. But sometimes there's decisions where, you know what? We better make sure we've got the voice of God on this thing. All right. Now, look at verse number 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? Now that was a lot of work. Let's just plug that in at this time. Verse number 15. Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. See, God wasn't speaking to everybody. God was speaking to Moses. That's what was happening at that particular time. Today, as a believer, you open this book, God speaks to you. Mike Veach doesn't have a corner on the market to God. Pat Dean, every deacon, every elder in this place, every woman. Nobody's got a corner on the market to God. If you're saved, if you've been saved for 5 days, if you've been saved for 1 day, you've got the Holy Spirit of God. You can get out of this book just as much as I get out of this book after 40 plus years. I don't have a market on the a corner on the market to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's the truth, man. When we talk about counsel, I've got to remind myself, in whenever some circumstance comes down the highway and crosses the threshold of my life, I've got to realize, you want to know something? I have the same God who saved me and gave me that good counsel is the same God who will take care of every aspect of my life. But here's the dilemma. We don't believe that. Or we're just too stinking lazy to read. Come on, man. Read. I know you can do it on your telephone now. I don't even know what those things are called. iPad, iPod, iSomething. I know you've got 1,000 different ways. You want to know something? You've got enough technology that has this book in it for you to read. There's no excuse, folks, for any of us, starting with me, to get into a situation in life and say, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. But I've got to look. I've got to search. Some of us are going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to say, but. And God's going to say, get your butt out of the way. I told you what to do. All right. Glory to God. I'm in the pulpit this morning. Moses said unto his father, people come to me to inquire of God. 16. But they have a, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, now watch this. God's been talking directly to Moses. Who in the world is Jethro? And this is not an indictment on family. Just happens to be his father-in-law. Don't go out of here saying you can't trust, Pat Dean says you can't trust your family. No. That's not what I'm saying. But look what he says. The thing that thou doest is not good. Hold, back the horse up. Where do you get that information from? God had been talking to Moses for a long time here. Moses was getting first-hand information, and now Jethro steps into the picture, and he changes the direction of Moses. Look at 18. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou, he seems like a concerned citizen to me, this people that is with thee, he's concerned about Israel as a whole. For this thing is too heavy for thee. He's looking at the ministry and he's saying, man, you're going to wear away under this burden. That, look what he says to him. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel. And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So now I've got this third party. God was talking to Moses directly. Now I've got this third party telling me what I should be doing when God seems to have been directly communicating with Moses. Look at verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Okay, here we go. Able men, such as fear God, all seems good to me. Men of truth, wonderful. Hating covetousness, amen to that. Place such over them to be rulers, thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. Let them judge the people in all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter that I bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. Delegation of power seems good to me. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. That all seems good now. I mean, some of this just sounds pretty good, and it's not bad. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, we'll speak about that in a moment, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their places. So Moses, look at 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law. What happened to God? So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, fifties and tens. Now, I want you to take notice about something here. I want you to take notice that this counsel, it came from a concerned man. This was not deliberate deception. If you go back and look at the context, they loved each other. They loved each other. Moses, great respect, boy. He got back there and he did obeisance unto him. He kissed him. He asked each other. They asked each other of their welfare. Jethro was concerned with Moses' welfare. Jethro was concerned with Israel's welfare. Jethro was concerned about the ministry. The thing is too heavy for thee. Jethro was very, very concerned. He was a concerned man that seemed to give constructive counsel. If you look at 21 and 22, do you know what Jethro had? Jethro had a plan. Jethro had a formula. Look at verses 1 and 2. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Those are all great things. He had a formula. He had a plan. If you look at 23 through 26, he evidently knew how to sell his idea. If thou shalt do this thing, God command thee so, Moses ends up hearkening to the voice of his father-in-law. Now, I see a problem, though. Can you look at verse 23 with me? This is why it's so important. Now, keep something in mind. Moses had the ear of God. Moses had God speaking to him. And what you have in your hand today, do you realize, according to the book of Peter, and we know this, what you have in your hand is better than the voice of God? It is better than the voice of God. God put his voice and his counsel on paper. And you know what he did? He gave us a hard copy. He gave it to us. So when you read it and I read it, we've got the same counsel. All of a sudden now you've got this third party though. And you've got Jethro. Now look at verse 23. Always watch, when I read my Bible, always read words to begin with. I know we're not really taught to do that in school. They used to tell us in reading classes when I was a kid that you read chunks. And I understand reading chunks. But when you come to the Word of God, you must hang on every word. And you must hang on the order of the words within the sentence. It's imperative. It will help you to understand what something is saying. It will help you to know whether it's right or wrong. Now look at verse 23. And I'll tell you how I know this verse is wrong. If thou do this thing, comma, and God command thee so. Does anybody see anything wrong with that thus far? Don't be shy. Doesn't it seem like something's out of order there? If God command thee so, and thou do this thing. You know what Jethro's got him doing? Jethro's got him doing something before God tells him to do it. And truth be told, this whole thing of this, these able men, fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 11. God does something completely different. He accomplishes the same goal, but he does it his way. Now here's what I see. Can you look at verse number 19 with me also? I see something wrong with this verse. Hearken now unto my voice. Look at verse number 19. Hearken now unto my voice, Jethro speaking. I will give thee counsel, comma, and God shall be with thee. Do you know what I see here? Never put I before God. I love you, but I'm not putting you before God. You tell me, you give me counsel on something. I've asked folks for counsel many times. I'm not ashamed of that. I ask them for counsel. But I have this little sticking point in my life after all these years. If you can't show me book, chapter, and verse and not take it out of context, I'm just not going to really give you too much of a hearing. All right. I can pull verses and tell men Saul right to kill you, by the way. So can you. You know, I mean, you can pull verses out of context easily. You can make any doctrine you want to. You see, the problem is that Moses was God's man for the moment. Jethro was working outside of thus saith the Lord. He was working outside of it. It had become so commonplace by Deuteronomy 32. Go to Deuteronomy 32 with me. It had become so commonplace. Moses is about ready to die. Joshua is about ready to take the nation of Israel into the promised land. Book of Joshua. It had become so commonplace in the practice in Israel to conduct themselves by either no counsel or bad counsel. It had become commonplace. Go to Deuteronomy 32:28. Now Moses is ready to step off the scene. He's about ready to step off the scene. And he's got this song. That's what it's called. It's called the Song of Moses. It's a doctrinal song. But in verse number 28, he says something about the very nation that he has led. And he says, for they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Now, is it that they did not have counsel? No. They had Moses. They had God through Moses, through Aaron, and he was carrying the whole load. But the nation of Israel was void of counsel, Moses said. And meaning, they refused to take the counsel that God had given them. Now, if you look at Moses, and I want you to move to Numbers chapter 11 with me. Because time always gets away from us, and we'll be quick on this. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Jethro's counsel gave Moses a false and a wrong belief about the ability of God. Remember, Jethro told Moses, you're not able to do this. Now, up to that point, Moses was doing, I mean, he started out a little shaky. God got him into first gear, and from there on, pushed him into second, third, and however many gears he had. Moses was leading. Without really being a leader, he was leading. He was listening to God, and God was doing the leading, and Moses was moving by the hand of God. But all of a sudden, Jethro comes along and says, you know, this thing is too hard for you, Moses. You're not able to do this. And all of a sudden, we're going to read in Numbers 11. It's an interesting thing. Moses had been infected with sincerely wrong counsel. Now, I want you to look at Numbers chapter 11. Now, there's not a lot of time that elapses here. If you have a Bible that's got dates on it, there might have been a year that elapsed on this particular story from Exodus 18. But look at Numbers chapter 11. Now, you've got the story of the mixed multitude, and Kadesh Barnea was the place of unbelief. But I want you to look at verse number 10. Now, keep something in mind. When God tells me His hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, when God tells me there's nothing impossible, I can do anything I choose at any given time, and who's going to stop me? And if you ever stop and think about that, He sets somebody up. Don't be afraid of evil rulers. Do you know who's in control of the United States right now? I don't care what you think of Barack Obama, okay? God's in control. I know you probably voted in a certain direction. Maybe you didn't, but maybe you did. But truth be told, do you know who's in control according to the counsel of this book? God is setting up rulers, pulling this ruler out, putting this ruler in. Sometimes from our vantage point, it looks terrible. And it is terrible. Do you know that World War I, if you look at just the history of World War I and World War II, do you know what World War I was? Getting the land ready for the Jew. Do you know what World War II was? Getting the Jew ready for the land. Do you know when Israel became a nation? 1948, right after World War II, right after the Holocaust, all of a sudden, the Hebrew, the Jew, he decided, we need a homeland. Do you know that God lets wars happen in order to accomplish His greater good? He does. You say, I don't like that. Well, take it up with God when you get on the other side. That's about all I can say. Because as I read this book, he called Nebuchadnezzar. Was Nebuchadnezzar a Jew? No. He was a pagan, idolater. Read the book. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. He called lost kings his servant. You know what that tells me? Don't be afraid. God's on the throne. He didn't fall asleep at the wheel. Things are right on schedule. The eternal heavenly train is just about ready to pull into the depot. And I don't know about you, but this man's ready to step on into the car. Now, I hope you're coming with me. Because it would be shame to be in heaven without First Bible Church behind me. I'm telling you, I can't even say it right. I stutter. It'd be a shame. It'd be a shame for you to sit in this building and hear the counsel of God's love for your soul and miss heaven. It'd be a shame. It'd be a shame for some of us to look around and say, wait a minute, where is he at? Where is she at? Oh, I want to hug her. I want to, you know, I'll do it with Eddie because I think Eddie's going, okay? I'm going. You going? Are you going, brother? It'd be a shame to get on the other side and look around and say, where's Eddie? I went to the wall with Eddie. And Eddie played a game or something. Now, Eddie's not playing a game because I know him pretty good. But you know what? It'd be a shame for you to sit in this church and to miss heaven. I don't even know what else to say about that. It'd be a shame, all right? All right, let's go back to what we were doing. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Got to wrap this up. Look at around verse 10. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. Anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou layest the burden. Now watch words. The burden of all this people upon me. You know what Jethro did? Jethro told him that the ministry was too big. He was concerned. He was a good guy. Loved Moses, but didn't really have the counsel of God. But he gave Moses his counsel anyhow, and Moses fell into the trap of believing wrong counsel. Sincerely wrong counsel. You know what religion does many times? They'll give you wrong counsel with a smile. They'll give you wrong counsel and clean your basement out. They'll give you wrong counsel every time and just do it with such grace. But unless you're reading your Bible, you don't know whether it's good counsel or not. Now look at verse 12. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child upon the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Wherefore should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give flesh that we may eat. Now look at 14. I am not able. He never said that until he listened to Jethro. Jethro told him, you're not able. Moses had been doing fine with the counsel of God until Jethro, this is not an indictment on family, just happened to be Jethro was his father-in-law. I don't care who it is. You better make sure the counsel is according to the voice of God. All right. Just make sure it's according. And when it's not, very difficult. I know this is very difficult. Yeah, but I want to. Yeah, but I'm so wrapped up in this circumstance emotionally and spirit, soul, and body. Yeah, but. And the Word of God says something completely against it. And the problem doesn't reveal itself the next day or the next day. Sometimes years go by. And all of a sudden, you look back and say, I'm where I am today because of that bad decision 20 years ago. I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. Now, look what God does. Look at verse 16. Do you know what God does? God gives him help. But it's completely different than Jethro's help. Do you realize there probably were 2 million? There were 600,000 footmen. If you read the context in here, 600,000 footmen. Plus you had people who were not soldiers, men who were not soldiers. You had young teenage boys. You had women. You had little. There was easily 2 million people. Now, if you take it thousands, you put a ruler over thousands, and you put rulers over hundreds, and you put rulers over 50, and put rulers over tens, you know what you have? You have the tens being responsible to the 50s, and the 50s being responsible to the hundreds, and it's a chain of command. You know God didn't do that? Look at verse number 16. You know what God does? God chooses 70 men. You would have had a lot more than 70 men. With 2 million, dividing them up into thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Do you know what the world always does? The world will give you a more machinery. God's not interested in more machinery, and He's not interested in more men. He's interested in Himself. He's interested in God in you. That's what God's interested in. Do you ever realize 32,000? Gideon started with 32,000, ended up with 300. Now, math has never been my strong suit. But I think my calculator helped me this morning. Do you know that 300 is less than 1% of the 32,000? Yeah, it is. See, my calculator was right. Do you know what God did with Gideon? He sent him into battle with less than 1% of what he started with. You think God's interested in numbers? God's not interested in numbers. You know what God's interested in? You. Just you. And me. Just me. He's not interested in, well, we got to have 300 to do this or 32,000 to do this. God never works that way. Look at verse number 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Now, he's going to help him. Completely different. Now, here's good counsel. Whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me. Now, watch what he does here. I will come down and talk with thee there, meaning Moses, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. God wasn't concerned about able men. God wasn't even concerned about men who feared God or any of those other things. You know what God did? God took the Spirit that was upon Moses and said, I'll put the same Spirit on those 70 men and it'll work just fine. Do the math. 70 men for 2 million plus people? How in the world did they get it done? Jethro actually had a better plan as far as numerically, but God's not interested in numbers. God said, I'm going to take 70 men. Do you know what God blesses? God blesses that which is biblical. Wrong counsel always undermines God's authority. Wrong counsel always, always, always undermines God's authority. You see, God wants to give you counsel. Then we're going to have to wrap this up. Exodus 18, you had a sincere man. Sincere. Some of you are just about ready to make some decisions in your life. That could be all of us. Where do you take your counsel from? You can even be sincere in wanting to do the right thing and yet get around somebody who sincerely gives you the wrong information. Exodus 18, you have a sincere man giving sincerely wrong counsel. And in Numbers 11, you have God taking of His Spirit, the spiritual counsel. Here's what we need to reinforce. I'm not saying we don't do this, but I know I need to reinforce this in my life more and more and more. I need to make sure that I have the direction of God. You see, all those six wills of God, if I can work my way into those six wills of God, and they're not hard, they're there, they're stated, it's practical, it's possible. Within those wills, if I can put myself within those wills of God, I'll have the direction of God. I'll have the direction of God. You say, yeah, but I don't know. Oh, folks, please. I can't go into detail. Do you know how many times somebody just waited on God and God gave him the answer? God just brought it. You know, let me get you to something right up front. And I'll close on this. My kids came to visit us. And we're fine as far as money goes, but I'm still paying for that house in North Carolina. And it just doesn't seem to sell, and who knows why. But I keep paying the mortgage and paying this and paying that and paying that and paying that. And God just, He's doing what He does, okay? He's in control. Enjoy the ride, okay? But I said to my wife, I like to give the kids. Because, you know, they've got a small, young family. And I know their monies are tight. And Matt said, honey, here's a man who tells his wife, I go to work and he lets her divide the monies up and pay the bills and she does a wonderful job. But all of a sudden he says, I need $300 for new tires. Make it happen. Stephanie said, what? We need $300, but tires are bald. They're bald, you know. Tires are bald and they'll never get us back there. And we want to go back and see mom and dad and have a good time for a week, see friends, and just make it happen. Duffy said, make it happen. What does that mean, make it happen? Where do I get $300 from? You know. So So they go to church. They go to church. They've been praying, I guess. They go to church down there. Unbeknownst to them, they're sitting, having a good time in the service. After the service over, somebody walks up and gives them an envelope. Somebody gave this to somebody that somebody gave it, you know. And they wanted, I'm the messenger. Here's the envelope. You know how much it was in the envelope? $300. Now, story's not over. I didn't know that. Okay. But I said to Debbie, can we squeeze any money out? She said, oh, baby, it's just, you know, we're doing fine. Don't misunderstand me. This is not a pity story. This is, I didn't have what I wanted. I wanted to give them $300. I just wanted to pay for the gas up, gas back, you know. I mean, just to be together again for Thanksgiving. But I didn't have it. So I said, Lord, I don't have it. You must be in control here. I'm not going to worry about it. I really would like to give him that $300. The Lord said, no, don't worry about it. So they get up here. They get up here. And I didn't have any money to give them. And I'm listening to them, and you know, they're just like any other couple. You know, a little shy on this. And you know, every time I got shy, I'd tell Debbie, listen, I got to cut your grocery money in half this week. You know, that was our way of paying bills. Just cut the grocery money in half. You know. So anyhow, family came to see us, and we just get talking, you know, and they leave a little something for Thanksgiving. And I'm out on the back porch. I'm straightening up. All this stuff is on the deck, you know, got a few days. And Debbie says, hey, babe, look at this. And they opened up the package and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we're eating pretzels and we're eating peanuts and we're eating this. And right there's an envelope in there. You know what that couple gave us? $300. $300. So I looked at Debbie. I looked at my beloved and said, we're on the same page here? How can two walk together except they be agreed? She said, no, you give it to the kids. You give it to them. So I got Matt aside when they were ready to leave and put the envelope on his chest and I explained it to him and we had a good moment together. You know what? God's in control. And God will do it exactly the way he wants to do it. Now, I probably could have sold something. Could have sold, I don't know what I would have sold. But you know what? If you just wait on God and trust his counsel, man, he'll change your life. He'll make you love him. I don't want to say that wrongly, but you won't be able to do anything but love him. Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.